In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It is during the month of October, and particularly on the first Sunday of October, that the Church wants the priests to promote the Holy Rosary. This is the standard prayer of the Church after the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and after the breviary. The most important prayer is the Holy Rosary. It has always been a defense against the enemies of the Church from without. It was given by Our Blessed Lady to Saint Dominic in order to combat the Albigensians, and it was used by Saint Pius V and Pope Clement XII against the Mohammedans. That is, he asked for all of Catholic Europe to pray the Rosary in order to save Europe from the invasion of the Mohammedans, which would have made essentially a place like Northern Africa out of Europe. And by the intervention of the Rosary, for certainly not by military prowess, the Catholics were victorious over the Mohammedans. It is also a defense, and has been a defense, against the impiety of Catholics. Saint Vincent Ferrer converted a man condemned to death by having him say the Rosary. And the Emperor Charles V, who was the Emperor of Germany during the time of Martin Luther, who was not well known for any particular piety, I'm talking about the Emperor, nevertheless would recite 15 decades of the Rosary before any great undertaking. And his son, who was Philip II of Spain, said on his deathbed to his son, "If you wish the kingdom which I leave to you to be prosperous, never pass a day without reciting the Rosary." The Blessed Rosary comprises the three great prayers of the Church: the Our Father, the Hail Mary, and the Glory be to the Father. Of the Our Father, so many things could be said, for there is no prayer more sublime than the Our Father, it having been composed by God Himself. It comprises all of the acts of humility, of penance, of love, and praise of the perfections of God. It is the perfect prayer. And that is why it is placed in the Holy Rosary. That is why it is in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. This prayer is especially pleasing to God as it was composed by Him and as we have been told to recite it by our Blessed Lord Himself. The main part of the Hail Mary, however, the Rosary is the Hail Mary. And this too is a prayer composed by God in its greater part. It comes from sacred scripture. It is mostly the Holy Ghost who has made this prayer. And the first part of it is composed by the Archangel Gabriel, and the second by Saint Elizabeth. And then the Church added the Holy Mary part, which is the meditation on the scriptural part in the beginning. First, the angel says to our Blessed Lady, Ave, which means Hail. And this term of respect is not found in any other apparition of an angel in either the Old or the New Testaments. And that includes the apparition of Raphael to Tobias. It includes the apparition of the Archangel Gabriel to Zachary in the temple, of the angel that appeared to Gideon in the Old Testament, and many, many other angels that intervened in the Old Testament, who spoke to people in the Old Testament and in the New, including the angels that freed Saint Peter from prison and so forth. None of them gave this expression of respect of Hail. And you are perhaps familiar with the well-known quote from St. Bernard that the Archangel Gabriel had never seen in the revered and noble courts of heaven. The love of God that he saw in the heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's a beautiful thought. That God was not loved in heaven the way he saw him loved in the heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary. He had never seen such respect for God, such devotion to God, as what he saw in this earthling, the Virgin Mary. And then there is the name Maria, Ave Maria, the beautiful name of Mary. Saint Bernard of Clairvaux said of this name, "Of such virtue and excellence is this name, that the heavens exult, the earth rejoices, and the angels send forth hymns of praise when Mary is named. Full of grace, this is an indication of her immaculate conception, that she has the plenitude of grace, and that she is the Mother of God. St. Bede says, Mary was filled with the ocean of the Holy Ghost poured upon her. It is inconceivable that any human soul could be more sanctified than to receive the grace of conceiving the Son of God in her womb. The only way that a human nature could be closer to God and more sanctified is the actual human nature of our Lord himself, which formed a single person with the second person of the Blessed Trinity by what we call the grace of union. Apart from that, Our Lady's elevation and Our Lady's fullness of grace is unexceeded by any creature and is not able to be exceeded by any creature. The Lord is with thee. This is a consequence of the foregoing. It is true that God is present in everything because he maintains the existence of everything that exists. He's present in a rock. He's present in a bird because he maintains the existence of those things. It is not to say that he is identified with those things, but he is present to them. And he is with them because those things exist, and he is the cause, the maintainer of all existence. But we are not talking about that type of with in this case. We are talking about the intimate life of God in the soul. So when we say that God is with us by sanctifying grace, that he dwells inside our souls, according to the teaching of sacred scripture and the teaching of the church, we mean that he has a presence toward us which is a sharing of his life. That is far different from what he does with regard to a rock. And our Blessed Lady had this presence of God in her in the best possible way, the greatest possible way. And that is why the angel says, "The Lord is with thee." If that could be said of anyone, it must be said in the most perfect way of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The Lord is with thee. If God is with anyone, he is with her. And this is a beautiful prelude to what is about to happen, and that is that she will conceive of the Son of God in her womb, and the Lord will be with her in a very special way. Blessed art thou among women. Mary is the new Eve. She is the new head of our race as the new mother of our race. And where Eve begot children in sin, so Mary begets children in grace, because she is the mother of grace. And all of the praise that goes to the Blessed Virgin Mary that we see from sacred scripture itself is an indirect praise of God. For we are not praising anything in her that is not of God. What we're doing is praising the work of God in her. When you praise the beauty of a great building like St. Peter's Basilica, you are not praising the stones themselves or the materials. You are praising the work of the architect and the work of the artist in that building. And so we are in the Blessed Virgin Mary, or in any saint, we are praising the work of God. How magnificent is the work of God in this case and in that case. Just as an artist might sculpt this or he might paint that. He might do this statue or that statue, and we say, how beautiful this is. Look at the work of the artist in this. Look at the work of the artist there. And so also in the saints of God, we praise the work of God in them. And each one is unique, just as each work of art is unique. Each work of God is. And just as there is a principal church of Christendom, so also there is a principal saint, and that is the Blessed Virgin Mary. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Here Christ himself is praised, but as the fruit of the womb of Mary. And this is the will of God. It is the will of Christ that he be born of the Virgin. God did not have to use the Blessed Virgin Mary in order to come into this world, but he willed to be, and therefore willed to be known as the Son of Mary, to be attached to her, so that when we think about him, we also think about her. He willed that the incarnation happen in that way, that she be attached to him. Blessed is the fruit of the womb of Mary. And then the great holy name comes, and that is the name of Jesus. A name of unspeakable sweetness and grace. A name most delightful to every loving soul and terrible at the same time to wicked spirits. The name of Jesus, worthy of all respect and adoration of all creatures. That comes in the middle of it as the great climax of the Hail Mary. And then the Church has composed the final part, which, as I said, is a meditation. Holy Mary. If anyone should be called holy, it is our Blessed Lady. There is no greater holiness conceivable for a creature apart from union with the divine nature itself, as in our Blessed Lord. There is no possible holiness that is conceivable beyond the holiness of being the Mother of God, beyond the holiness of the Immaculate Conception. Holy Mary, Mother of God, this beautiful title that St. Elizabeth gave her first in Sacred Scripture. How is it that the Mother of my Lord should come to me? And it is of great wonder why Protestants should object to this title of Our Blessed Lady when it is in Sacred Scripture itself. How is it that the Mother of my Lord should come unto me? St. Elizabeth said. Who is the Lord except God? Who was she referring to except God? Our Blessed Lady is the Mother of God, and this title was defined concerning her in the year 431 at the Council of Ephesus. And then she is called upon to intercede, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. And it's very important that we pray to our Blessed Lady to draw us out of sin, not only now, which is very important, for, as the saying goes, now is the best time to do anything, but also, very importantly, at the end of our lives. For we, in order to gain eternal salvation, we must have the grace of final perseverance, which simply means this, that by the providence of God, our death should coincide with our state of grace. And that is not a mere coincidence, even though I have used the word coincide. That is a gift of the providence of the mercy of God, that our death should be at the time when we are in the state of grace. That is the grace of final perseverance, and we cannot merit it. We can only get down on our knees and beg God to receive it. And we do that in the Hail Mary. And that is why it is important to say the Hail Mary every day, and to say and with devotion. And as you know, the decades of the Rosary are followed by the Glory Be, which is the summation of all of the honor and praise due to the Blessed Trinity. And so we see how wonderful a prayer this is. It is not only wonderful because it contains all of the basic and standard prayers of the Church, but also because it is a serious prayer. It is not merely the recitation of an Our Father and a Hail Mary before you go to bed. In order to say the Rosary, you must be serious. You must decide that you are going to say this prayer. It's going to take you 15 or 20 minutes. And if to say it well, you must think about the mysteries as you say them. You must announce them to yourself and say these prayers. It cannot be done carelessly. It is something that demands your time and your concentration. And just as the priest has to say his long breviary every day, so it is incumbent, although not obligatory, for the faithful to say their rosary every day, their serious prayer to God every day. And it's particularly important in these times because the enemy is not at the gates, as St. Pius V could have said, or Pope Clement XII, when the Mohammedans threatened Catholic Europe. The enemy is not at the gates. The enemy has come in the gates. The enemy is occupying our Catholic institutions. And if it was necessary to keep the enemy away from the gates, how much more is it necessary now when they have penetrated? How much more difficult it is to remove an enemy that has embedded itself in your country. And that's what the modernists, what the heretics have done. And we should not think that our efforts are going to overcome this great problem. That because priests throughout the world say the traditional Mass, that will overcome the problem. Because for one reason, our numbers are microscopic in relation to the general number of Catholics. There are perhaps 1,000, 2,000 priests in the world who say the traditional Mass. And yet there are many hundreds of millions of Catholics. Our numbers are microscopic, tiny. And we should not kid ourselves into thinking that we are going by our efforts to overcome this problem. It will be by the power of God that the problem will be overcome. And we must ask God for that. We must go to God and pray to Him, pray for the conversion of sinners by the use of the Rosary, which was told to us by Our Lady at Lourdes and at Fatima. And the other reason why we should pray the Rosary every day is in order to protect ourselves from the corrosion of our spiritual lives. In a flood, everything that is not firmly tied down is going to go straight down the path of the flood. Or when we see the damage done by a tornado, it is those buildings that are weak and those trees that are ready to go that are ripped out, or even the effect of a strong wind. When the wind comes and knocks down electrical wires, it is not those that are strong that go, but those that are weak, and the power goes out. And so it is the same with those who, in this flood of modernism, this flood of impure corruption, They are the ones that are going to be swept away if they do not have a strong spiritual life that is maintained by a strong daily prayer. And if your daily prayer is a few careless prayers before you climb into bed, if that's all you do with regard to God, you will be swept away in this torrent of heresy, apostasy, and liberalism, of impurity. You will not be able to survive it. You will lose the faith. You will go to hell. And therefore, to maintain your purity, to maintain your faith, it is necessary that you pray. In these times, we must produce the greatest Catholics of all times. And it is not by saying a few Hail Marys now and again that we will do that. And the other great reason to pray the rosary every day is that you build up a great bank account, if we could put it that way, of devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. So that at the end of your life, no matter what sins you have committed, she will take pity upon you and merit for you, intercede for you, and merit for you the grace of final perseverance. If you have commended yourself to her every day by the Holy Rosary, in her maternal instinct, in her motherly way, she will not be able to turn her back on you, but will see you as one of her children. And just as any mother, by her instinct, without even thinking about it, would save her children from any kind of harm, even at the risk of her own life, so our Blessed Lady, with this great maternal, this supernatural maternal instinct that she has from being the Mother of God, will preserve you from everlasting death. St. Louis de Montfort said, "Let it be to thee a most probable sign of eternal salvation if thou dost perseveringly honor the Blessed Virgin Mary by daily reciting her rosary." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.